Good morning.
Good
morning. I traveled to Jackson on Friday from Casper, where my offices are as Bishop Provisional of this diocese. And is often the case, I had forgotten to fill up the car with gas on Thursday evening. So before I got out of town in Casper, I stopped at a Sinclair station and filled up with gas and went inside to pick up a Coke Zero for the road, which is my typical pattern. I went to the cooler, got the Coke Zero, went to the cashier, and proceeded to wait in line, actually no line, proceeded to wait to be checked out as the two cashiers continued a heated conversation. It seems that they were on different sides of the issue of what to think about and how to respond to Charlie Kirk's death, his assassination in an act of political violence. I was fascinated to listen to the two perspectives of maybe 37,000 different perspectives we might have about that situation. I waited patiently, I listened, and finally got my Coke Zero and headed out to come to Jackson. Well, about the time I was needing to slow down to 30 so that I would not get a speeding ticket going through Shoshone, I realized it was time for another dose of caffeine and decided I would stop at the gas station in Shoshone and get a cup of coffee. I went in, got my coffee, went to the front to check out, and there were two cashiers engaged in a heated conversation. I waited, I paid for my coffee, got back in the car, and proceeded on my way to Jackson with a gnawing awareness that the Spirit was at work in my travels and that perhaps the Spirit was guiding me to reshape, reframe my message for this Sunday morning. Now, I was torn. First of all, when you're confronted with Luke 16, 1 through 13, you cannot serve God and wealth. You face that kind of sermon with a bit of trepidation because we do like our accumulated wealth. And we kind of have a fondness for God as well. So I was going down that well-worn path in my preparations for this morning, when I kept hearing the voices of those cashiers and the conversation that they were having, different perspectives on their relationship to one another and their relationship to pressing issues within our common life. And so I decided that I would take the easier route today and I would address something about relationships, about forgiveness, about grace, about mercy, all within the very simple context of political violence in the United States. This may be the time when some of you would like to excuse yourself and begin to assist folks in browsing by and moving merchandise into the temporary quarters. Or you can stay put and see what in the world I'm up to. Let's back up a little bit in the Gospel of Luke and go back to chapter 15, that chapter that precedes today's lesson from chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. It's a well-known parables that Jesus is reciting, telling in chapter 15. And he's doing it in the context of speaking to scribes, Pharisees, other religious leaders, a larger crowd, and to a smaller group of his disciples who are accompanying him. And it's done in the context of Jesus hearing the Pharisees grumbling about himself, about this Jesus who eats with outcasts and sinners, tax collectors, other assorted people who are seen to be the other, the ones who are outside the graces of the Pharisees, and not just the Pharisees, us as well, all too often. Condemnation of Jesus and this ridiculous teaching that he has and this behavior of hanging out with the wrong kind of people who do the wrong kinds of things and believe differently than the establishment. And so he tells three stories. He tells a story about sheep and a shepherd, about one stray sheep and leaving the flock behind to go after that one sheep. What a ridiculous notion. Put the whole flock at risk for just one sheep. And he tells a story about a woman who has all of her money except for one coin. And so she scours the house looking for that one missing coin and rejoices and celebrates when she finds the one that was lost and now is found. And then there's that story that so many of us can relate to of a son who has left his home and has squandered all of his inheritance and has really been kind of not much good. And the faithful son who stayed alongside his father and done everything right, and then here comes that wayward son on his way back, and dad decides to throw a party. A party for the one who's strayed from the ways of his family. Now the fatted calf is killed and the big party is held. Not fair at all. Jesus tells three stories about those things which were lost and then found, about the incredible, abundant grace and mercy of going after even the least among us. It's turning the world upside down and saying that, yes, I hang out with the outcasts and the sinners, even the tax collectors. For that's the kind of world that our God is calling us into. It's a different kind of economy where you do things unexpectedly. You go after those things which are seemingly outside the boundaries in order to bring them in, to bring all of creation into a relationship. So Jesus is teaching not only his disciples, but also that larger gathered crowd of the establishment. And then, as he so often does, he turns from the larger crowd and he looks at the smaller group that is gathered, his disciples, and he also teaches them. But he does it in a way that allows the larger crowd to eavesdrop and hear everything that he says. And he begins to talk more specifically about God's economy. An economy where if our natural expectations are to hold true, would be an economy where you've got someone who owns a business and has entrusted with stewardship, a manager who is going to keep track of the sales and of the income coming in, collect the debts that are owed, and if the invoice says this person owes 100 jars of olive oil, they're going to pay 100 jars of olive oil. They're going to pay full price for what they've received. But we hear a story about an owner who has experienced what he thinks is not very good business practice on the part of that manager. And so the manager, who's afraid that he's going to lose his job, decides that he's going to go to all of those who owe the owner something, and he's going to give a discount, going to reduce what is owed. And so he cuts one bill after another in half. Now, how many of you, if you owned that company, would applaud that manager? Anyone? Jimmy, you got some really bad business people in this congregation. What's that?
Maybe they're just shy.
Maybe they're just shy. Now, yeah, you know, this is unusual because the 8 o'clock group was not shy. Now, most of us would at least be very puzzled about this, if not even more ready to fire that manager. But instead, in a twist that reveals something about God's economy, the owner applauds the manager who has just reduced what is owed in half. Now, what are we supposed to do with this? How are we supposed to understand this? I believe that what Jesus is teaching us is that God's ways are very different from ours. And God is inviting us into a new way where we look at how we interact with others, owner and manager, manager and the debtors, how we look at one lost sheep as opposed to the whole flock, how we look toward the one coin that is missing out of an abundance of coins, how we look at our child who maybe has not met our expectations or maybe has failed us miserably. An economy that says that there's abundance of grace and mercy and love and forgiveness, that isn't an invitation for us to join our behaviors with God's behaviors and for our lives to be changed in such a way that we too can be merciful and gracious and loving and forgiving. Even when something happens that we cannot understand and cannot support, how do we find it within our hearts to forgive the other who's violated our expectations? How can we also be like God who teaches us through the words of Jesus that we are called to search out even the least among us and those with which we strongly disagree? How are we to do that? Now, I don't know about you, but I suspect you're much like I am. And that is, you recognize we live in difficult, confusing, troubling times when expectations are getting shattered, when unspeakable violence occurs, when we find ourselves separated from loved ones and from our neighbors simply because we have a different opinion about the direction our society is taking. I find that difficult, not easy. But passages like we have from Luke today remind me, in the same way that those two sets of cashiers reminded me, that we're called to transcend our differences and to work on our relationship, on reconciliation, on being one with another, and in particular, one with the other, so that we too can model our own small portion of God's economy. My challenge for you today and in the days ahead is to join me in taking a long, hard look at ourselves and discovering where it is that our relationships are broken and how we can move from arguing different points of view to understanding and accepting one another and learning, despite differences, to walk side by side, all for the glory of God. May it be so for me, and may it be so for you. Amen.